And that's really it. This is not going to be a long show. This is going to be
short. Oh, we can make this a long
sweet.
Show. We need to go minimum 30.
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields.
Welcome back, Scott Slatton.
I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, glad to have you back as my guest on this show number 455. I don't really know what show number this is. It's a lot, though.
There's a running joke on Mr. Tony's show about another show that fans of his appear on,
right.
And they'll name the number of the episode. So,
oh, wow. I can't even do that.
It's pretty funny.
You know,
Mr. Producer could tell us how many episodes we've had.
You
so
know,
far.
Jimmy Kimmel at the end of all of his shows has this fake feud with Matt Damon and always like, we could have, you know, had somebody else, but we ran out of time. We'll have to reschedule Matt Damon for another show. Something. They have this ongoing like fake feud. It's really funny.
I'm getting this late breaking information here. Mr. Producer says this is show number 280.
Is that
all of City Quick Connect or just the From the Dome to Your Home?
Oh,
that's everything.
Oh, well, I'm
going to
ask.
Just
I need
our
another.
Show.
Yeah, I'd like another number just for
not
our
just
show.
Our show.
And I want you to take it all the way back, Mr. Producer, when I was just recording me reading the legislative report.
I don't think we have archives back that far.
All right. Oh, okay. But I want to know that when I was just a basic news agency. And not commentary. That's what I want.
Ooh.
Let's work on that.
Yeah.
I want those numbers.
The non-punditry.
Right. The non, like when I just had, and then when I transitioned, it was like, I'm having a guest. I'm taking this to the next level. Then we had to get that through management. And then we did it.
Listener, you're going to get a liberal dose today of punditry.
Well, while there's a lot going on, there's not. I mean,
not
I know
directly
that's hard
involving
to,
us.
Yeah,
yes.
Like it's hard to explain. There's a lot going on. There's not a lot going on. Anyway,
yeah.
Here we go. Today is Thursday. We are recording the show. The House has already adjourned for the week.
They're out.
They are gone. They met Tuesday, Wednesday, and today. The main focus of the bills that they took up were a couple of contested bills out of the House Judiciary Committee related to kids and social media. Access to social media and pornographic websites. They took up two bills related to that, and I'm just going to tell you right now, Scott, we're not going to go into detail about that because it would be like sitting across from my parents
there
talking about
graphic,
it. I don't want to do that.
There were some graphic terms. Well, they're not graphic terms, but they're not words that you would expect to hear during the debate in an august body like the Carolina House of Representatives.
That is correct.
Right?
It was, while I'm not ashamed to speak of things, it was uncomfortable listening to some House members speaking of these things.
The words they were using weren't words that you would typically use in mixed company.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yes, it was awkward.
It was awkward.
It was embarrassing.
It was so awkward. But those two bills passed. They gave them third reading today.
So the shock value didn't do anything?
The shock value did nothing.
To tamp down the votes or the push forward to get those bills passed?
They have moved forward, which is, you know, protecting children in an election year. It's so important. We didn't do it last year, and we probably won't do it next year, but protecting kids in an election year, that's the most important.
Maybe we can work on feeding kids over the summer next, maybe.
No kidding.
We'll see.
So that's what the House concentrated on. They've got a pretty – their calendar is growing every day.
Yeah.
It's going from, you know, the one or two bills it had – when we started in January, but now
when they're a vapor trail 30 minutes after they come into session on a Thursday, it's going to pile up.
So it's going to pile up.
As
so it's
usual,
it's going to take some time to get through it. But
as
you know,
usual, it'll be, you know, many, many, many late nights at the end of the session. It'll be a mad rush.
Speaking of late nights, the Senate,
yeah.
And I think we talked about this last week, Scott. Because last week they were debating this bill.
Yes.
House Bill 3594. It's the constitutional carry
permitless carry
or Second Amendment Preservation Act, whatever you want to call it. They started debating this last week. They have debated it all week this week. While we're recording the show, they are still debating the bill. And they went late into the night, Wednesday night, until right before midnight, I believe, they adjourned.
Yes.
They had a long recess in the middle of it. I'm assuming they were maybe having some conversations, maybe eating a little bit, trying to figure some things out.
Eating and hashing.
So that is really what they have been focused on. There are so many amendments on this bill that it would be difficult to kind of figure out what it actually does at this point.
Most of the debate that I listened to last night revolved around the efforts to ensure that people who were going to carry their firearms had some sort of training.
That's what we have. That's the requirement now, right?
Yes.
And you can openly carry as long as you have a concealed weapons permit.
Correct, which has a training element, which has a background check.
But you can openly carry a pistol.
Yes.
It's a specific type of firearm, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right.
So Senator Chip Campson from Isle of Palms, Majority Leader Senator Shane Massey from Edgefield led the efforts yesterday and last night to require some sort of vetting / training for people who will carry constitutionally without a permit so as to try and head off what will most certainly be lots of people who have never handled firearms walking around with those firearms and potentially harming themselves and others.
Scott, there were a couple of things I was listening to when I was listening to the debate that stood out. One being, how do you handle approaching somebody if you see
someone arguing about that right now,
walking down the street with a gun?
Yeah.
Can police stop them? Can law enforcement stop and say, can I see a permit?
No.
But if you don't have to have a permit, how do you know that that person is not a convicted felon, is a convicted felon? The second argument that I heard that was really interesting was the property rights argument over putting a placard up, a private business owner putting a sign that does not allow firearms, weapons in the building, and where does the property rights and the Second Amendment intersect?
Well, the argument being that the right to property, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, or the pursuit of property, which is the a part of the original Constitution.
That's right.
That right to property, to happiness,
supersedes
the amended right
to,
under the Second Amendment, to possess firearms.
Right. So businesses or whoever could say, you can't carry in my house, you can't carry in my business.
So we go back to the idea of requiring or having someone have training or a, quote, permit to carry. The argument is, the argument was, if I get pulled over and I don't tell a police officer that I have a weapon in the car, then that is problematic. So you need to disclose that you have it. Well, an argument against that was, that's a violation of my Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate myself.
Huh.
So if
because if you get caught
with a weapon,
if you get caught with a weapon
not supposed to have it,
but you're also committing a crime with the weapon,
right? I got pulled over for a burned out taillight.
Okay,
and I've got a firearm in the car. Exercising my Second Amendment right.
This really happened to you?
No.
Oh, this is okay.
No.
Got it. You're making this
up. Setting up a scenario.
All right.
Yeah.
Got it. I'm ready.
I get pulled over for a taillight being out.
Okay.
I'm exercising my Second Amendment right to have a firearm in my car.
Do you have a permit?
I do not.
Okay.
But one of the efforts last night was to require me to disclose to that police officer, as I have to now with my CWP.
Right.
That's a requirement that I have a firearm in the car. Well, the argument against that was, if I have the Second Amendment right, why do I have to tell law enforcement that I have the weapon.
Right.
And so as we speak, there's an amendment that they're debating that says, okay, you don't have to tell the law enforcement officer that you have a weapon unless he or she asks you if you have a weapon.
Which means now protocol will be walking up to the car and say, do you have a firearm?
Well, I think that's probably a piece of protocol anyway.
Right.
If
right.
I had to guess.
Scott,
but not volunteering that you have it is a use of your Fifth Amendment right, potentially. I mean, it is... They are really, and this was a Democrat making this argument uh-huh. against disclosing to the police officers.
Right.
It is Republicans, Senator Campson and Senator Massey, who are leading this effort.
Yeah.
Because they are responsible gun owners. They are,
sure.
Certainly Senator Campson is a sportsman. So they are legitimately concerned that every Tom, Dick, and Harry who goes out and buys a firearm or acquires a firearm and
right.
has never touched one is
right.
going to then start toting it around.
Have they talked about if the serial number's been messed with on the firearm or if you, have they talked about any of that?
I've been in and out of the,
if
in
they
and
can,
out of the
if they can I haven't heard that either. I listened until about, I don't know, about 11 last night. So I didn't stay up.
One amendment.
The last like 45 minutes.
The last amendment that they passed last night would say that, help me remember this. It was one that.
It was the consecutive versus concurrent terms.
Yeah, but I can't remember what the.
They added, it was a, if you are, arrested for a crime and you possess a weapon, an undisclosed weapon while committing that crime, you would be given 3 years onto your sentence.
Is that right?
That's if it's not right, it's close.
Gosh.
I'm close enough.
It was
I
really...
believe what it was because you and I were arguing about it this morning and
yes.
you had to tell me three words in the hallway and I made you say it a little bit louder. You had to
say... You were right.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah. If you... here's what it was. If you have a CWP,
okay.
If you have a CWP and you commit a crime involving that weapon, then under this amendment that they adopted last night, you get out of jail free card. You don't get charged with this offense for committing this crime with a weapon.
Okay.
But if you don't have a CWP,
okay.
and you commit a gun crime, then you would be charged with this additional charge that would add 3 years onto whatever sentence you got for the underlying crime. I mean, you see the links to which the effort being the whole idea behind this twisting of stuff is to try and make people have to have a CWP or some sort of vetting
right.
from the government to tote your weapon wherever you want to go, but that runs counter to the whole point of the bill.
They also talked about offering CWP classes twice a month in every single
yeah.
county for free and how much that would cost. I believe Senator Tamika Isaac Devine from Richland County brought up that it would cost a lot less to feed children in South Carolina during the summer rather than pay for free,
yes.
twice a month free CWP classes.
Look, as I said last week.
But they are pushing toward some sort of training that, I
don't think they are.
I do. I think they're trying to encourage people to make it available.
There's going to be two tracks. You can choose to get the CWP if you want to, or you don't. If you do get the CWP, then you're going to get some discounts, if you will.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If you don't get the CWP, then you're on your own, essentially. You can carry it wherever you want to, but if you get in trouble, you're not going to get consideration and a lighter sentence, if you will, if you get convicted, as opposed to if you had your CWP. I don't really understand the whole logic behind it, but this is all in an effort to get enough votes to pass this thing, and I think they have it. They just can't get to a vote yet.
You know, Erica and I, we are following this bill to make sure, to watch for any amendments or anything
yeah.
that would affect cities and towns, but Erica and I were going through the Senate list and trying to figure it out, and that is a purely nerd move
Counting
on
votes.
Our part, and I think Erica would totally agree with me. We were figuring out, okay, well, how many do you need to pass? How many do you need, you know, for this? Yeah. How many do you need for that? And we were like mapping out the entire thing on how to stop it, how to pass it, how to do this, how to do that, and trying to figure it all out. And this is very different. They earlier today, I mean, maybe like an hour or so ago, Senator Massey, during the motion period on the Senate calendar, which is when you are able to move to place things on special order. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do it in the motion period, but that is normally when it is done. He moved to put the Compassionate Care Act, which is a bill that allows medical cannabis on special order, to hop skip over the objections and, you know, force debate on the bill, like they have done with other bills before.
Mm-hmm.
And that vote failed.
Yeah. 25-16.
That vote failed. And then Senator Margie Bright Matthews from Walterboro, she then made the motion to place the Clementa Pinckney hate crimes bill on special order.
Yep.
That motion failed as well.
Yes. And by not putting medical cannabis on, allowing a debate on it, will that peel off Senator Davis from his support of the constitutional carry, if he supports it? I don't know. I don't know where he is.
I don't either. He hasn't really said much during this debate. I imagine a lot of senators have been hearing from their constituents. And I believe that a lot of them are either overwhelmingly for it or overwhelmingly against it. I don't know if anybody's lukewarm.
Senator Campson last night complained about the deliberate spreading of misinformation about what the bill does and what his position is on it. He said 70% of the calls that he's getting right now are in favor of some sort of vetting process, a la CWP, to allow people to carry firearms. So it's going to be interesting to see if they finish today. I don't know if they will.
I don't know.
They could. But as I said last week, it's inevitable as far as I'm concerned. We're going to have some sort of form of permitless carry. So I think what the opponents are trying to do is make it as less bad as they can.
Right.
And that's a noble exercise, even if they lose the war. They'll win some battles.
I do want to touch on, before we get to the much anticipated trivia question this week, I want to touch on two bills that you attended the subcommittee for this week. I believe it was yesterday on Wednesday. A Senate Judiciary Subcommittee took up two bills. One, a study committee that creates a study committee to study liquor liability insurance. And then the other one was joint and several liability.
Yeah.
So we're talking a big liability subcommittee here on Senate Judiciary. Your thoughts?
Well, they took testimony from the director of the Department of Insurance, State Department of Insurance, Director Wise. I can't remember his
new guy.
First name. Yeah, he's fairly new.
Director Farmer, retired.
Young guy, but seems very, very smart and he knows the issues. He came in and delivered what I would call an updated presentation, because we talked about this when he testified in the House.
Right.
A few weeks
they
ago.
had like an ad hoc committee.
They did a subcommittee as well. Yeah. And he talked about the environment in which these insurance companies are trying to offer liquor liability policies. And through questioning from some of the subcommittee members, I heard some really interesting things. I didn't realize this, but the Department of Insurance does not regulate most commercial lines of insurance in terms of their rates.
Okay.
They do regulate most all of the personal lines of insurance, the rates that companies can charge, like auto insurance, homeowners insurance, some of the flood insurance, that kind of thing. Work, but they'll regulate workers' comp on the commercial side and maybe one or two others. But for the most part, it's the insurance companies that are setting the rates for whatever policies they're writing with no oversight from the department. There's no requirement that the insurance companies tell the department, hey, here are the rates that we're charging for X lines of business, and here's how we arrived at those. And then DOI, right, you know, they don't have any say over how those would be set. And so in talking about this idea of the losses that these insurers are incurring or saying they're incurring on these liquor liability policies, it was asked of him, well, how do you know that the rates that they're setting are legitimate rates, and are the losses legitimate losses? Because without filing details about how you arrived at a rate, in other words, what were all of the factors and the costs that you factored into setting your rate? How do we know that that's a legitimate rate that they're setting?
Okay.
And I mean, that's a good question.
Right.
And so there was some talk about whether or not the Department of Insurance ought to get in the business of regulating at least liquor liability rates mm-hmm. going forward. So that was something interesting. The other question related to that in terms of the losses and why the rates are jacked up so high, because he revised. Yeah. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I said he said that for every dollar insurers take in premium for liquor liability policies, they're paying out $2.90. Mm-hmm. He revised that down to like $2.77.
Okay.
Well, if they're losing that much money, then why are they in South Carolina? Why are they writing those lines of business? And his explanation was that, well, that loss is a part of a larger book of business that insurance company is doing.
So they're not only doing liquor liability.
Correct.
They're doing other stuff,
They're doing auto, home.
Homeowners. Okay.
You know, all these other lines of business. And so
that
liquor liability loss just kind of gets washed into their overall big picture, which made sense. That makes sense to me because, you know, obviously if you're losing money hand over fist, then why are you writing
that
line
of
business?
Why are you in that business?
And then there's more than, apparently, more than just the small number of companies writing liquor liability policies. If you'll recall, when he was over in the House, and we've heard this number.
But there are only two.
There's only a couple.
Right,
yeah,
there are only two
maybe
companies
no
that are writing
five.
Liquor.
Right.
So you only had the choice between those two.
Turns out that's not actually correct. There are three that are the largest.
Okay.
Across the state, and they're all names you've heard of, Berkshire Hathaway, mm-hmm. You know, some others, but there are others who are writing those policies. So I guess it's still not as competitive as it needs to be. And then one of the best questions that I heard asked, the director talked about the number of liquor liability claims in South Carolina that compared to our sister states, our bordering states.
Okay.
And Senator Michael Johnson from York County, Lancaster County, asked, well, why do we have so many more liquor liability claims in South Carolina than we do elsewhere?
Right. In neighboring North Carolina, Georgia.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you know, the proponents of the liquor liability law requiring the $1 million of insurance
right.
coverage, the proponents of that would say, well, we got a lot more drunk drivers in South Carolina. And there's no doubt. We certainly do. But then I would argue that the reason we have so many more claims is because we have this law on the books that says, hey, there's $1 million hanging out there for every
right.
claim you make potentially. So come and get it.
Right. Right.
We
have it because we have it.
That's just my guess. That's my commentary. That was not talked about in the subcommittee. So, I don't see this thing going anywhere anytime soon, moving forward and solving this liquor liability problem. Everybody recognizes the problem, but nobody has figured out yet how to balance the interests of businesses and then the victims of people who are overserved.
Right.
So,
right.
That's to be continued. I don't see a solution this session at mm-hmm. all. This is going to be way down the road.
This is going to be a long way.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've said this over and over again, Scott, but I mean, it has an effect on what's passed. It's an election year.
Yes.
And it has an effect on what is passed. Is that right or wrong? It's just the way of the world.
Yeah. Politics is always at play in all of these debates, unfortunately. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah. That's just how it is.
There's lots of ways it could change, but that's not in the offing.
The Senate continues to go through. They had four amendments, I think I said.
That's right.
Like an hour ago. I don't know where they are on those four. I don't know if they have done away with one, two, three, or all of them, and now they're just... But it seems like they're still going back and forth on questions. So
we don't. We still don't have a sense of whether or not they've got enough votes for cloture.
We don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Whether we have not heard anything about a plan for today. I mean, I wasn't there until midnight, and I'm tired.
I don't know.
So I would. I just can't imagine them going very much longer today. But there are no signals that they are slowing down, or signals that they're saying we're not going past this or we're not going past that. Nobody is sharing that information with the outside world.
They're in a box that they can't get out of right now.
Yes.
But they'll figure it out. Somebody will have to concede
this thing out of the way. At some point they're going to go, you know what? I have appointments on Thursday afternoon back home. Yeah. I got to go. And you know, people start walking, and that is a vote, and
I got to do my real job.
That affects how it, the outcome.
Yeah. This has been a really downer of a show so far.
It's not a downer. It's just downer, what it is. Yeah. I mean, like, that's just what we're dealing with. I don't think we can be unicorn and, you know, we can't be bubbles and unicorns and pretty flowers every single time.
You know, and I was, all this stuff's getting in the way of getting things going that we want. I mean, I waited all week for the House to take up House Bill 4231 that allows for Sunday retail liquor sales.
Right, the referendum.
Two days in a row, they get to that part of the contested calendar and they adjourn.
Probably because they see you sitting up there and they're like, you know what, we're going to mess with Scott.
They don't care if I'm up
there. There's Scott. We're going to mess with him.
Hey, I do have a bit of good news I want to pass along to everybody.
Please do. Please do.
The Local Business License Renewal Center opened up today.
Right, February 1st.
For the third year in a row. If y'all recall, this is a part of the Business License Tax Standardization Act. Mm-hmm. It's the online tool that allows a business owner to renew his or her business license in every city and town across the state. Almost all of them.
But multiple jurisdictions at one time.
Correct.
Yes.
Well, this morning at 7:30, I guess, a business logged in, renewed six business licenses in six different cities in under 10 minutes.
Heck yes.
And
I wanted to say something stronger.
There you go.
This is a kitchen.
So the thing is working, and it has grown every year since it went live three years ago now.
That's just a true success story.
Yes.
I mean, that renewal center so much time and effort put into that, making sure that the business, everything was, you know, good and easy and very intuitive for the business to complete a multi-jurisdictional business license.
That's a credit to the staff in the Local Revenue Services Department of the Municipal Association.
That's right. Hey, it's a credit to you for getting the act, working on the act to make it fair and equitable for business licensing.
That was a team effort.
In cities and towns.
Elected officials, if you have businesses, particularly out-of-town businesses, who don't reside in the city and don't send in a check or whatever, encourage them to use the renewal center. And we've made a couple of improvements just actually even a month or so ago.
From feedback, right?
From businesses and from cities and towns. So proud of that and spread that message. That is
a success for sure.
I think we helped process over $11 million last year in business license payments to cities and towns through the portal.
Mm-hmm.
And
awesome.
I would expect that that number will grow even more
right.
this year.
As
this
people begin to use
session.
It over and over and then
yeah.
tell their friends and then they tell their friends
right.
and then they tell their friends. And
so there we go.
It becomes easy. That's great.
There's some good news.
Mr. Producer has really chosen a difficult question for you this week.
Well, I mean, they're just getting tougher and
which
tougher every week.
Seems to be the pattern.
Yeah.
He's
angry. He's angry, Mr. Producer, right. for all of the early success that I had. Now
I love
he's,
angry.
He's
Mr.
exacting
producer,
his
he's
revenge.
A lot of fun.
All right, lay it on me.
All right. What municipalities in South Carolina have single syllable names?
Oh, wow. That's
would you like
question.
The number of
yeah,
the,
give
that
me the,
I'm looking
give me the
for,
number.
Or do you just want to guess?
No, give me the number.
All right, it's going to be a good old-fashioned dozen.
Wow, okay, I'll never get that
okay.
many.
Okay, I bet you're going to come close. Mr. Producer, I'm going to have to mark on this so I'll make sure he gets all of them.
Well, the first one is Peak that comes to mind.
Okay.
Gosh.
Keep going.
I'll
give you some hints if
yeah,
you need
yeah,
if you need
give me
to.
Some hints.
They're in the sky at night, and they're so pretty.
Oh, Star yeah. over in Anderson County.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is the character's name in High School Musical. He was a basketball player, played by Zac Efron.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll skip that one.
Skip that one.
It's what you do when... maybe you're real sad and you like to eat ice cream. That is how you deal with your grief, or you, it's another word for dealing with something, in Orangeburg County.
I don't know.
You cope with it.
Cope. Yes, of course. I just met with them a couple of months ago when yeah, they were under
cope.
Threat of going away.
A lot of times when you're driving and you get in the left people are lane. Going slow.
Yep. Yeah, lane, of course. Yep, no lane.
I feel like I'm playing like $10,000 pyramid.
This is like pyramid. Yeah, this is
no
exactly
whammies?
What pyramid is.
Oh, no,
yeah.
That's pressure luck.
Yeah.
Never mind. Another great.
Yeah, pyramid.
Another great one. Let's see. not south, but?
North. Right. North South Carolina. There's a, before Bill Cosby became who he is today, there was a great skit that she did with a lady who was from North South Carolina.
Really?
And he was playing confused and she was
is
playing
it
was
is
really
it
fun.
North that has the alternate landing site for the shuttle?
Yes.
Yeah,
it is.
We've
correct.
Driven by there before.
Yes, it is. That's right.
BMW.
Greer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See if I can do it like in one.
I'm impressed that you are able to conjure these clues.
I can't even believe that's I'm even doing
better.
This.
That's even better than me guessing the names.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
I really wish you knew the High School Musical one because that's really you're gonna have to call Abby, phone a friend.
I don't. I'll get the pop culture.
If you are what you used to do but you quit.
Smokes.
Yeah.
Yep, smokes.
Very good.
Gosh, yeah, these are all smalls, aren't they?
How about there's a peppermint patty that we enjoy sometimes.
York,
yep.
South Carolina. It's
yep.
in the county seat of York County.
You know, it used to be where, and I think there is one on the National Lampoon's Vacation. It was like a motor inn, like not a hotel. Not a motel, but like a motor inn. And then they had that last word in there where you could go.
Lodge.
Yes.
Lodge, South Carolina.
That's
yep,
right. In Colleton
Lodge.
County.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Lodge.
And you sure that you've never watched High School Musical? Because that is a really good clue.
I've
Mr.
Never,
Producer, do you know what
I've
it is?
I've never seen the show.
Of course you do.
Ward, South Carolina.
No, but you gave him another one.
Over in Saluda. Is yep. Ward in Saluda County?
Ward is yeah. in Saluda County.
Yeah. I know exactly where Ward is. I've been by there many times. They have a caboose right next to their little town
in,
hall.
In Orangeburg County, it's the last name of a city manager. Orangeburg County. Her first name starts with an R.
Vance.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Becky, for the clue.
That's right. She called in. I got it on the show. And then the last one, I'm going to go back to High School Musical.
I don't know that one. I don't know. I don't know High School Musical. You got to give me a geographic clue. You got any geographic clues
Greenwood County.
Oh, Troy.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Troy. Hello, Troy. It's the first name of the basketball player Troy. Character that Zac Efron played in High School Musical.
Previous winner of a hometown economic development grant.
I guarantee you that our listeners knew that question before you did because sure they're going to be like, oh, it's Troy.
Oh, yeah. So I didn't know that.
And that.
Is that all of them?
That concludes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
With clues, I can guess them. I would have never been able to guess all those.
How about that?
That's pretty good.
Kind of proud of my clues.
Your clues
Let's
are
just
amazing.
Be real honest.
Yeah.
But the two of us could only do it because I know you, so I could be like, I know what you're going to say.
Maybe we should turn the tables here and let you answer a question next week
or down the road. I am so far from being the expert that you are.
I don't know about that.
So far from being the expert.
Okay.
Well, next week, we will probably have an update on some bills like liquor liability, elections.
I'm going to bring my pistol into the office next week.
Oh, sweet. We have a placard outside that says you can't. We should have a good bit of action. On Tuesday, we will welcome over 500 elected officials for Hometown Legislative Action Day. So that will be a lot of fun. That'll be great to talk about. And if our listeners couldn't come, or we can, I'm hoping to see some of our listeners so we can get a list of people to shout out on the show next week.
Municipal Elected Officials Institute is on Wednesday.
That's right.
We got a big crowd for that. We won't have near enough time to do any sort of live recording during HLAD.
HLAD's pretty.
It's full from top to bottom.
Since it's only one day.
Don't have any downtime.
Annual meeting, we have a little bit more time. We should do a live recording from Fluor Field.
When is that?
An annual meeting.
Oh, yeah.
At a drive game.
Do we have an event over there?
No, I was just going to say, let's go to the game and do a live show.
HLAD next week, the sister senators will be on tap. They'll be there to talk about how they overcame or navigated around their partisan differences to work towards their goals on the legislation.
On legislation. And
so that'll be
we're looking forward to that. Scott Huffman from Winthrop is going to give us a political outlook.
And he's going to talk about some interesting polling stuff
that
they've been doing.
That's right, which I can't wait for.
Going to get a little wonky. But that's okay.
And we love wonky polls.
Yeah.
So we got a lot for everybody at HLAD. So if you haven't registered yet, registration's closed, but you can register on site.
Yeah, we'll take your money.
If you'd like to come for the day, wherever you are. Parking is a little bit of a bear or a bar, as Senator Tom Corbin said on the on the floor yesterday.
So free parking is available at Segra Park.
Right, which is a little over a mile from the Marriott on Main Street, but we have shuttles.
A free shuttle that Mr. Producer is going to be coordinating that during the...
is he driving the shuttle?
The intake process morning.
Great.
I hope he gets on the last shuttle to get back over to the
hotel. That would be a bit of a walk.
I mean, he could do it. He's a young man.
That would be a bit of a trek down Bull Street.
But otherwise, you're on your own for parking. But I would recommend that you go to Segra, take the free shuttle, fellowship with the other riders and enjoy the
enjoy the scenery of Columbia.
Yeah, enjoy the bus driver fighting through traffic rather than you.
Well, let's plan on. I'll make it official. I'd like to invite you back next week. I'll go ahead and ask
well,
you now.
Well, thanks for the invitation.
You're welcome. And we
I thought it
will,
was a standing one, Mr.
We will
Producer.
Discuss. Good I thing I got that in. And we will keep talking about the gun bill, which maybe could be passed by then, maybe not.
We'll see.
Election bills, liquor bills, and anything else that pops up between now and then. We'll see everybody on Tuesday at HLAD, and then we'll be back with you next week. Have a good one.
Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.